You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The NFL Podcast with Gil Alexander and Dave Kellner.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the latest edition of the NFL Podcast here with William Hill as we move into week number 13 of the National Football League season. Dave Kellner here in the UK and joined stateside live from San Francisco this week. It's our very good friend Gil Alexander, the host of the Megapod and the Guessing the Lines podcast, all available at Beating the Book. First of all, a warm welcome, a good morning to Gil Alexander, who's on the line right now. Good morning to you, Gil.
Good morning to me. Good afternoon to you. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Oh, as always, it's a pleasure. Gil, did you catch the game last night between Dallas and Minnesota, with Dallas winning 11? Is it 10 straight, 11 straight now? They just continue to roll, the Dallas Cowboys.
11 in a row. You know, there was some hope yesterday. Thursday games have been terrible, as folks know who have watched them all year and through the years, because teams are on short rest. Well, this was a game where we hoped, you know, we'd get something else because both teams were on extra rest coming into this particular game. And, yeah, not the case. It was the Cowboys, right? Or both teams, actually, on extra rest from Thanksgiving. Not really the case, although you could make the case that, you know, this was going to be a low-scoring game anyway with the defenses, at least with Minnesota's defense involved. And certainly that was. But, you know, as Dallas has the knack for, and as I guess on the other side, Dave, I guess Minnesota has the knack for the opposite, which is the big play. There's one big play that turns it. Adam Thielen's fumble on a punt return ends up being the big game changer. And as is the case with seemingly every single Dallas Cowboys game, Dak Prescott makes one or two huge conversions, either through the air or via ground, usually by the ground. He'll make one great third down run conversion, and that will be such a difference maker in the game. So Dallas, 11 in a row now, 11-1, and Minnesota, after starting 5-0, now 6-6, and on the outside looking in.
Gil, I think we talked about this maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago when Dallas were just starting their run, and I asked you, do you think this team can win or will win the Super Bowl? And at the time you said that they had it with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott in terms of the offense, but still skeptical about the defense. They're now second favorites behind the New England Patriots in that antipost market, or the futures market, if you will. Do you see them now as legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Legitimate is a funny word, because sure, they're legitimate. You know, would I still make that bet? And do I still think the Cowboys will? I don't. I still believe that the Seahawks, with their fully loaded version of the Seahawks, and they're going to get all their players back on defense specifically, I still feel like the Seahawks can go into Dallas in the playoffs and beat the Cowboys. You've got Russell Wilson, who's in his fifth season, and Dak, while spectacular, still, you know, in his first season. So I really would like Seattle in a game like that, especially when, you know, if you're going to give me points in a game like that. So I do think Dallas is legit. I'm certainly not going to say there's no way they can make the Super Bowl, because they're obviously as well-positioned as anyone. But when push comes to shove, it's not a bet I'd make, because I like the Seahawks. And by the way, I think there's a lot of question marks about the Patriots as well, the other team you mentioned there, which has the shortest odds of them all. And, you know, that's another discussion. And I think the loss of Rob Gronkowski is a huge deal for the Patriots. So I think it's going to be an interesting playoffs. And I do think, you know, if you're put a gun to my head, I'll just go ahead and say it right now. I don't think we'll see either the Patriots or the Cowboys once all is said and done in the Super Bowl.
That's a bold statement, Gil. That is a bold statement.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out in the final few weeks of the regular season going into the postseason. But for now, let's get stuck into week 13 and the televised games here in the UK. And we start with the Kansas City Chiefs at the Atlanta Falcons. This is a 6 p.m. start time on Sunday. And the Chiefs are 19-10 on the money line. The Falcons 10-23. And this spread is set at 4.5 currently, Gil. The Chiefs plus 4.5 at 10-11. The Falcons minus 4.5 at 10-11. And situationally, Gil, this is a very interesting game for the Kansas City Chiefs. They went into Mile High last week and eventually prevailed 30 points to 27 with Cairo Santos just, and I mean just, making the winning field goal. That was a divisional clash, Gil. And on Thursday, next Thursday, they will welcome another divisional opponent with Oakland arriving in town. So given the state of the AFC West with Oakland 9-2, the Chiefs 8-3, Denver 7-4, there's a heck of a lot of pressure on those divisional matchups, and there's a chance that the Chiefs could be looking ahead.
Absolutely, and I think scheduling is probably going to be a theme for this show today, I would imagine. That's a big one, what you just mentioned. It is a sandwich game, you know, to use the very non-technical term that one of the gentlemen on my show likes to use, Marco D'Angelo. It is a sandwich game. As you point out, the Chiefs, huge win at Denver Sunday night in overtime. Just a gut check win. Amazing how they came out on top in that game, tying it on the very last play and winning it, as you said, with the bank-in field goal off the goalpost, Cairo Santos from 34 yards. And then, yes, the next game on Thursday, very close against the Raiders, with whom they are competing for the top of the division. When I mentioned how I thought New England had an Achilles heel and that they weren't full strength this year, the Chiefs might be that team that topples them. In fact, that would be the team that I would feel would have the best chance of toppling the Patriots from the top of the AFC. I think the Chiefs are, despite the scheduling problem that we just mentioned, probably the best equipped team. And we talk about Seattle getting back players. Well, KC's getting back players on defense, too. They've been getting them back. And when they are at full strength, they are going to be an unbelievable force. Now, this game against the Falcons, it's interesting. Football Outsiders and Advanced Stats site makes the point that while this game, and by the way, this might be the best game just from a fan's perspective on the schedule this Sunday, the Chiefs and the Falcons, while this game, while the outcome of this game may not affect either the Chiefs or Falcons' playoff chances that markedly, because both teams are probably headed to the postseason, it does have a big effect on the odds of either of these teams getting to the Super Bowl, because it will have a big effect probably on where these teams end up seeding wise in their respective conferences. So it's a big game in that respect, not necessarily do or die, but the length, the distance with that they can get into the postseason. I like KC here getting the points. In any case, that's what my call would be in this particular game, even with the scheduling issue that you mentioned. I just think the defense is good enough and so good that they can slow down this powerful Atlanta offense to the extent that I like getting the points here.
And the Chiefs, as we've talked about in the past, Gil, they do have an incredible recent record. You look back to games dating back to October 2015, they've posted a 19-4 record in regular and postseason games since then. And they've won six of their last seven games. So this is a franchise that is coming on strong in the last year and a half. I just wonder about the matchup here for the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Falcons, the area in which they struggle defending against the pass, is an area in which the Chiefs don't exactly excel, Gil.
Yeah, you know, there's another advanced stats site, the Power Rank, who my good friend Ed Fang runs here in the U.S., he has Atlanta as the number one team in the entire NFL, and that's driven by being number one on offense. By the way, number 11 on defense, that's where the differentiator is, which makes his ranking of the Falcons number one. But you point out, are the Chiefs the team to take advantage of that Atlanta pass D? And I'm not so sure they're not. You know, this kid Tyreek Hill, who is playing with them now, who's just been an unbelievable infusion into that lineup, and really last week became the first person to score a rushing, receiving, and return touchdown in the same game since the legendary great Gale Sayers did so in 1965. This kid is the real deal. AFC Offensive Player of the Week last week for that performance. And I think he has added a dimension in Jeremy Maclin's absence. You know, everyone's went, well, if the Chiefs get Jeremy Maclin back, they'll be so much better. Once they get Jeremy Maclin back, they'll be, you know, that much more equipped to beat certain teams that are in front of them. I'm not so sure that we haven't discovered the diamond in the rough here with Tyreek Hill. So I do think that the Chiefs are getting less credit in that regard than probably meets the eye, than probably is the case, I should say. So I actually do like KC's ability to exploit that now, given Tyreek Hill's presence alone. And, you know, look, the Falcons defense, their best cover man, Dave, cornerback Desmond Trufant, he's on IR now with the torn pectoral muscle that he suffered in October. So he's not coming back. And they're also going to face the Chiefs without defensive end Adrian Claiborne, who's going to miss several games with a knee injury, suffered in their win against the Cardinals. The Falcons win against the Cardinals last week. So the Falcons defense isn't getting any better with those losses, with those absences, especially the new one with Claiborne. I do like the Chiefs here to keep up. I do like the Chiefs to win this one outright. I think this might be one of the teams that is peaking at the right time in football.
19-10 if you like the Chiefs on the money line. They're getting 4.5 at 10-11 on the spread. Let's move on to the Giants. The Giants are the Steelers, which is 9:25 UK time. The New York Giants 12-5 to win this match. The Steelers 5-14. The spread is 6.5. The Giants plus 6.5 at 20-21. The Steelers minus 6.5 at 20-23. The Giants are 8-3, but still trail the hottest team in the NFL, the team we've talked about already, the Dallas Cowboys, by 3 games in the NFC East. They have won 6 straight, and the last time they were beaten was by the Green Bay Packers back in early October. However, that doesn't tell the full story, does it, Gil? Because some of those wins have been quite tight. And last week against the horrible Cleveland Browns, and I mean that as respectfully as possible, Gil, they didn't produce much offense, and that's a concern against the Browns, isn't it? I know they won comprehensively in the end, but I think Eli Manning threw for under 200 yards in that game, which isn't good against the Browns.
Yeah, he threw for a season-low 194 yards. I think the Giants only had 296 total yards on offense in that, I guess what can be described as a escape win of sorts against Cleveland, even though they won in the end by 2 touchdowns. But you hit on it, Dave, and I think this is sort of the narrative that everybody's talking about this week, and rightfully so. I'm on Pittsburgh here, giving the points. So much of this has to do with the fact that you just have to look at the Giants 8-3 record and say to yourself, is this really an 8-3 football team? The Giants, well, clearly they are, right? They won the games. But the Giants in point differential are plus 18 at 8-3. Now, keep in mind, that's with the 14-point win last week against the Browns. So last week, when they were 7-3, they were actually only at plus 4. That's pretty tough to do. You figure, well, maybe they got blown out in a game. That's what's causing this strange point differential. No, not really. Their wins are by 1, 3, 4, 7, 5, 1, 6, and 14 points last week. So again, you throw out the 14, it's 1, 3, 4, 7, 5, 1, and 6. They're just beating teams by one score. They are the polar opposite of what they were last year. The Giants were on the wrong end of many of those one-score games. That doesn't make them a markedly better football team. Just makes them different in their record. And, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., their best player, he's been held under 100 yards receiving in the last 5 games in the process. So you look to their best player and you think, well, maybe he's still getting it done. Nah, he's not getting it done either. And, you know, the Steelers, the opposite of that, they're 2-4 in their last 6 games. They won their last 2 games against weak competition. 4 games they lost before that, you know, no shame in losing to the Dolphins, who are on a 6-game winning streak, Baltimore, their division rival, New England, and Dallas. And you have a situation here where the Steelers are going to get Sammy Coates back mainly at full strength, or mostly at full strength, I should say, in the case of Coates. That's a big addition to that Pittsburgh offense. And you talked about scheduling with the Chiefs, how it's a tough spot for the Chiefs. And I acknowledge that in that Chiefs-Atlanta game, despite taking the Chiefs. Well, for Pittsburgh, you know, this is their only home game in a 5-game stretch. That was pointed out by, again, Marco D'Angelo on my show. He's a big Steelers fan. He's from the Pittsburgh area, so he's very in tune with them. Only home game in a 5-game stretch. Pittsburgh's got some big games coming up. This is a game they must have at home, and they will.
Just to play devil's advocate slightly here, Gil, if this game was played in MetLife Stadium, where the Giants host in their home games, this line suggests that the Steelers would be going into MetLife Stadium as slight favorites. Do you think that's correct?
Yeah, it'd probably be a pick'em, right?
Yeah.
What is it now, 6.5?
6.5, yeah.
Yeah, I bet it would be a pick'em. And I do think that's fair. I don't think You know, usually when we do that exercise, there's something askew, right? Something doesn't make sense. I will say this. Do I think that it ultimately, let me be realistic here. Would it be a pick 'em? I could see the Giants being favored by a point or a point and a half, probably. You're probably right. There's something in there that is probably a little different. But the point being that the Giants would not be 3-point favorites against the Steelers. Steelers are the better football team, and I think you're seeing a team that's going to soar, you know, soar in quotes here to their division title. It's not exactly a great division. I think Pittsburgh's headed to the playoffs. And, you know, you mentioned how the Giants are trailing the Cowboys. Giants 2.5 games behind the Cowboys right now as we do this show. I really do hope the Giants aren't thinking about the division title. They are not going to get there. They are definitely in the mix for the wild card. That's what they should have their sights focused on. I'm not sure they get there either. It's going to be a long final month of the season for the Giants, and I think it starts right here in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers -6.5, the pick for Gill at 20-23. The Giants there +6.5 at 20-21, and the total points line is set at 48. Let's move on to prime time, and we start on Sunday night, early hours of Monday morning. In the UK, the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks. The Panthers 11-4 and the Seahawks 2-7 on the money line. And the spread is set at 7. The Panthers plus the points at 20-21. The Seahawks -7 with extra juice here at 20-23. And the points line is set at 44.5. What a difference a year makes, Gil. The Panthers 15-1 last season. Now 4-7 and last in the NFC South going into Week 13. And last week's loss against the Oakland Raiders pretty much consigned this season to the dustbin, Gil, as far as the Panthers are concerned. And now they've got to go into Seattle and try and rebound and produce a shock. I wonder whether this team has got the fortitude to do that. And having been to the Super Bowl last season, knowing their season is done and dusted, can they get up for this game? Not only physically, because they are banged up, Gil, but mentally as well.
Yeah, I think that's a question that was raised on my show. You know, I think it's compounded by the fact that the true hearts of the Carolina defense and offense are not there, or at least we think both aren't going to be there. Ryan Khalil, their center on offense, is done for the season. Ryan Khalil's presence cannot be emphasized enough on that offensive line, and he is done with a shoulder injury. And then on defense, Luke Kuechly, who everybody saw had that apparent concussion on November 17th, where he was emotional leaving the field, not sure if he's going to play in this game, though he has made the trip with the Panthers to the West Coast. So anyway, you take Khalil out and you take a, you know, Kuechly to some degree hampered at the very minimum on defense. And you can forget all the talk about Cam Newton and all that. Those two guys are really the heart of this football team. And the real Achilles for the Panthers this year has been their pass defense. And the short, quick answer to that question, which, you know, is accurate, certainly partially at a minimum, is the fact that there's no Josh Norman there. And Josh Norman will certainly tell you that's what's happening with the Carolina pass defense. But that's been their real Achilles heel. And so, yeah, you know, look, do I think they're as bad as 4-7? No. Right. I don't think they're that bad. I think they probably have an average offense, do the Panthers, and Cam's just not producing touchdowns at the same unbelievable rate that he was last year. All those things are true. All those things can be true. So, you know, probably an average NFL team, not a 4-7 NFL team. But you're right in the respect that if this team falls behind in this game, right, you're 4-7. Let's say you fall behind 10 points early or 2 touchdowns early. I don't know if you really have the desire at that point in a tough environment in Seattle. Let's say it's a Seattle weather kind of game where it's rainy. I mean, that becomes a really, you know, just a bummer situation for any human being. So if they don't get out to a good start in this game, it could fall apart pretty quickly.
And just to extend on the injury talk, Gil, Kelvin Benjamin, their number one wide receiver, he's been banged up. He will play, I think, but he might not be fully fit. And Ryan Khalil's backup, Gino Gradkowski, is right out with a knee injury as well, placed on injured reserve. So it's maybe even worse than it seems for the Panthers at the moment. And as you mentioned when we were talking about the Super Bowl and the outright odds, This is a Seattle Seahawks side that are finally getting healthy. They've managed to overcome the adversity and the injury problems to build this winning record, but they're getting healthy at just the right time, Gil.
Yeah, I think this is one of these teams that people, you know, it's funny with the NFL, and we're all guilty of this, right? I raise my hand, I'm guilty of this too. With each week, you know, we get to create a new narrative for all these teams, right? And you try to resist that urge. You try to keep a big picture for all of these. And I think with Seattle, I have certainly kept a big picture with them, which is, I think they're just moseying along, Dave. They're 7-3-1. They know they don't have all their players. They're just fine. They're going to win their division. There's not a lot of competition in their division. The only question is, could they outdistance the Cowboys for home field or not? Right now, it doesn't look like they can, but who knows down the stretch. But yeah, look, they have Mike Morgan getting back into the lineup this week, their linebacker. Michael Bennett's status, uncertain. Earl Watson's even more in doubt for this game. But they'll get all these guys back eventually, and they're going to probably get a bye if things go right here down the stretch in the playoffs. I shouldn't say probably, but it looks like if they get all their players back, they've got as good a chance as anybody. Atlanta will have something to say about that as well. So Seattle's in a good position. They're not worried about too much. You know, their loss last week snapped an unbelievable streak of 98 consecutive games that they had led or been within one score in the fourth quarter. And, you know, so what? They just keep moseying along. But you made a great point about the Panthers' offensive line, even beyond what we talked about. So, right, no Ryan Khalil, no Gino Gradkowski, his backup, to replace these guys. They signed free agent center and Ryan Wendell, and they also added tackle Dan France, who's right off of the Cleveland Browns practice squad. Now, you don't have to know who Dan France is. I certainly can't give you a bio on Dan France, but he's off the Cleveland Browns practice squad, Dave. If I had said Dave, they just signed Dave Kellner off the Cleveland Browns practice squad, not to insult Dan France or his family in any way, you know, you'd get a sense of how desperate the Panthers are right now, and that's where they are. So, look, I do think this spread is not the worst spread in the world. I don't want to give the impression, you know, my lean here is Seattle, and I'm going to pick Seattle, but I'm stronger on Pittsburgh. Like, I do give Carolina some juice here. I do think they're better than a 4-7 football team, and Cam is capable of making plays at any point. But I don't trust the Panthers. I don't trust them if they get in that situation we talked about where things go bad early. And I think that's a huge part of this game. This might be one of those games where you sort of wait to see what happens early and then maybe make an in-game or second-half wager.
Definitely, definitely. And one thing we need to touch on just before we leave this game is the fact that this is a revenge game for the Seattle Seahawks as well. Something that you mentioned on your show, Gil. Carolina beat Seattle back in January in the divisional playoff round, 31-24. But that doesn't tell the story, really, Gil. The Panthers were 31-0 up in that game, and the Seahawks came back into it. But the Panthers more than deserved that victory, Gil. So the Seahawks have something to prove here.
We may have buried the headline in not saying that at the top, right? Because there are those who believe that that's the single most significant thing about this game. Usually games from year to year, you know, we don't really care. Carolina did beat them in the regular season last year also, but we don't care so much about that. It's when a team knocks you out of the playoffs that these particular people who put stock in this sort of thing, they focus on that point. And maybe there is something to that. Maybe the fact that that's still very fresh in Seattle's minds, you know, like, oh, this is the team that talked a lot of schmack coming off the field. You know, famously Cam Newton, when winning that game, grabbed a 12th man towel.
Yes.
Seattle Seahawks mantra at their home stadium is the 12th man, meaning a tribute to their fans being the 12th player on the field. Well, Cam Newton grabbed a towel that said 12th man at Carolina and sure had fun with that. And Seattle remembers that. They remember that very well. So that's a big deal. And, you know, even in their win last week, I'll just wrap it up with this because this just popped into mind. You know, the Panthers played ultimately a good game against the Raiders last week. They lost 35-32. But really, before Derek Carr's injury, that was a blowout. And the fumble by Derek Carr, that was a blowout. So, you know, I'm not sure we can read into last week's game and think, well, maybe the Panthers aren't as You know, maybe they've got it in them. I don't know. I mean, again, I just wonder about this team. That's why ultimately you got to go with the Seahawks.
Monday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts at the New York Jets. The Colts 4-5, the Jets 21-20. And this spread is 1.5 in favor of the Colts here, -1.5 at 10-11. The Jets +1.5 at 10-11. Gil, I find this a very difficult game to assess. The Indianapolis Colts are clearly the better team, but that is reflected in the spread, and they have more to play for as well. But Andrew Luck was missing in their defeat to the Steelers last weekend, and he is, at time of recording, still in concussion protocol. Did practice fully on Wednesday and is almost certain to play, Gil, but T.Y. Hilton exited in that loss against Pittsburgh. He's likely to return as well. We don't know the exact fitness or status of those two, and they are key for the Colts on offense. But how can you put the trust in the New York Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick under center, Gil? I just found this a very, very difficult match to work out.
Yeah, and if it was a Sunday day game, we would never talk about this game, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of these games the NFL wishes it could flex out of. But we're stuck with a really bad Monday night game, the Colts and the Jets. And for all the reasons that you state, it's a very tough one to call. I mean, basically, the quick snapshot of this game is the defenses are terrible, right? Indianapolis, by some measures, by some advanced stats measures, have the single worst defense in the NFL. Certainly by Football Outsiders metrics, they have the single worst defense in the NFL. On the other hand, the Jets defense, from once having a very powerful front seven in recent years, they have the worst adjusted sack rate in the NFL and the sixth worst pass defense, according to Evie Better, who was just on my show yesterday. They're giving up 6.8 net yards per pass and a 49% success rate. Anytime you're giving up a 49% success rate, and you got a guy like Andrew Luck coming in, as it appears that he will be coming in and playing this game, that's not a very good thing for the Jets. Now, the Jets might be good versus the run, as witnessed last week versus New England, or at least, you know, credible versus the run. But when you're not stopping the pass against Andrew, and you're facing a guy like Andrew Luck, and by the way, Darrell Revis, Dave, a shell of what he used to be.
Yeah.
Right? Just not a great player anymore. And that's a kind statement that I just made. So you've got two really bad defenses, and, you know, you go from there, then it's sort of, well, do you trust Andrew Luck more? Do you trust Ryan Fitzpatrick more? Stanford versus Harvard, Dave. That's where these two guys went to school. So you have the most cerebral of all quarterback matchups in this game. I think you take the Colts in the end, given that proposition. But again, it's sort of a game where you're like, well, I could see anything happening, but you know, Andrew Luck has shown me enough where I think he comes through in a game like this.
Some New Yorkers, just to flip it away from Andrew Luck to Ryan Fitzpatrick momentarily, some New Yorkers are screaming for Bryce Petty to take over the reins under center, but Todd Bowles is sticking with Fitzpatrick. Petty did play once in that awful loss to the Rams in that abysmal game. I think it finished 9-7 in the end. My question to you is, Gil, when you're 3-8 and you've drafted Petty in the fourth round of the 2015 draft, you're 3-8. Why not just go with Petty? Why not just see what he can do if he gets an extended period in the team? Because he can't be much worse than Fitzpatrick, can he?
Well, I think the quick answer to your question is to why not Petty is because a guy like Todd Bowles is very aware of what his final record is going to be as head coach of this football team. He's cognizant of what the media will say about him. And ultimately, he's a human being. And that's what is driving this decision to still play Ryan Fitzpatrick. If there's a better reason than that, I don't know what it is. So you're absolutely right. Logically speaking, if you were really trying to figure out the best thing for the New York Jets franchise, find out what we really have here at backup quarterback, that would be the move, right? You would play a guy like Bryce Petty, but Todd Bowles doesn't want to end up 3-13. He doesn't want that on his resume. He wants to see how well the Jets can do here down the stretch, I guess, in terms of just their bottom line record. And as far as the fans are concerned, fans always love the backup quarterback. That's their favorite player on the team, always. Especially when you have a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has led you to a 3-8 record. So I understand why the fans are clamoring for it. You're right. In a perfect world, it really should be Bryce Petty. But the reality we deal with, unless you're Bill Belichick, all these coaches are looking over their shoulder at what people are saying about them and what the media is going to say, what talk radio is going to say about them. So that's why the Jets are still trying to win football games.
The Colts -1.5, the pick for you, Gil, but that is just a lean here, isn't it? And if this game was one of the games we didn't preview, the Sunday afternoon game, I presume you there wouldn't be a strong pick either way.
Well, you know what? I think it would creep into my my pick six this week as the sixth pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck into the pick six then, Gil. We've previewed the four games, as we always do on this podcast, that are televised in the UK. Let's have your six best for week number 13, Gil.
And let me just say, Dave, it only took me 12 weeks, but somebody finally had a great week last
week. Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I told you, Dave, you give me 12 weeks and I'm going to give you a great football week. This week, let's see if we could do a back-to-back. Let's talk about some of the games that we already have. Those are some of the picks. First of all, the Kansas City Chiefs. Underdogs, 4-point underdogs. Is that what you're seeing right now, Dave?
I'm seeing 4.5, Gil.
Yeah, 4.5. I will take the Chiefs, even in the bad spot here, as you mentioned in scheduling, sandwiched in between two big division games. I like the Chiefs' defense to slow down the Atlanta offense, very potent offense, to be sure. And the Chiefs' offense, a little underrated. Again, 18-3 are the Chiefs now in their last 21 regular season games, 19-4, 23, including the playoffs in the last 23, that is. I like the Chiefs here getting the 4.5 points at Atlanta. Pick number two, we also talked about it, the Pittsburgh Steelers giving 6.5 against the New York Giants. I like the Steelers for all the reasons mentioned. Steelers beating up on bad teams the last 2 weeks, but the Giants are a bit of a paper tiger at 8-3. Great spot for the Steelers. Poor spot for the Giants, we didn't mention. They also have to face Dallas next week. So a game that they may fold in here also. Pittsburgh is the team, and I will give away the points here. Pittsburgh -6.5 is pick number two. Pick number three, we also mentioned it, the Seattle Seahawks over the Carolina Panthers. Carolina is the team that I think folds here if they fall behind in a bad environment. Seattle Seahawks, still to me, the best football team in the NFC. I like the Seahawks giving the points, pick number three. Pick number four, at the risk of going for one more chalky team, I'm taking the New Orleans Saints, giving the points against the Lions. The Lions have faced the easiest schedule on defense this season. In other words, they have faced the easiest array of offenses. Not this time. The Saints are going to get their points. Keep in mind, all 11 of the Detroit Lions games have been decided by 7 points or fewer this year. Not this time. The Saints run away with it. The Saints, minus the points, are pick number four. Pick number five, Arizona Cardinals, Dave. Arizona -2.5 against the Washington Redskins. It's a big game for the Redskins in terms of their playoff win probability. Whether they win or lose, it's about a 35% swing in that probability. I don't like the Redskins. They're dead last in the league in run defense, and they're going to have to face a guy named David Johnson in this game. Even more than that, Kirk Cousins has been facing some pretty average defenses. Not this time. He has not faced the defense like the Cardinals. Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, and company get the best of the Redskins. Arizona is the pick, giving 2.5 at Arizona. And pick number six, as we mentioned in the Monday night game, Indianapolis, for all the tepid reasons we mentioned, Andrew Luck being the key one among them to get the win and the cover over the Jets.
Superb. Thank you, Gil. As per usual, superb on this podcast. And if you've not already, listeners, do check out Gil's podcast that he produces in the States, at Beating the Book, the Guessing the Lines podcast, with Chris Andrews, goes out on a Monday, and the Megapod, always a staple of my podcast diet each and every week on a Thursday afternoon. So make sure you have a look at Beating the Book for Gil's podcast. Gil, good luck this week, and thank you for, as always, your contribution on the William Hill NFL podcast.
Dave, you're kind and generous as always. Thank you, sir, for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you check out all the markets on the William Hill website at williamhill.com. Check out this podcast, audioboom.com. That's where all William Hill's on-demand audio lives. And you can check us out on iTunes as well. If you want to follow us both on Twitter, it's at BeatingTheBook for Gil, at D Kellner for me. And if you're having a bet this weekend on the National Football League, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.